Hello and welcome to the absolute bloody state of things. This is a podcast that I had the idea of starting halfway through today because I had some opinions on something that I wanted to share, and over the course of a long and dull school day I tricked myself into thinking that they were actually interesting enough to share. Now this does vary slightly from the current podcasting format that is really present, in that instead of being a single white guy giving his opinions and thinking they're interesting, it is actually a single white teenager giving his opinions and thinking that they're interesting. So it really is something new, a real breath of fresh air, if you will. I think it could really give podcasting a shot in the arm, hopefully save this dying format. Ooh. Anyway, I should also mention, my opinions aren't that interesting, but you know, I just need someone to vent, really, so here we are. Now, obviously, this being the first episode, I don't really have any, I don't really have a format in any way. I might divide it into segments at some point. I might be answering questions if anyone actually listens to this, not expecting them to, but if anyone does, I may answer questions. I'm mainly going to be talking about my interests, so that is mostly politics, a lot of politics, sports, chiefly amongst which are MMA, just a brilliant bloody sport, football, that is soccer for Americans, baseball, a bit of that. I'm a Mets fan, so expect depression. Hockey, I'm a Habs fan, so expect depression. And because the World Cup's coming up, a bit of cricket, so that'll be nice. But anyway, yeah, right, this, I'll also be talking a lot about music because I love music. So this will be about 15 minutes of me talking way too much about the European elections. So I think we should get into it. I think you can do song breaks in this, so I'm going to try that out now. If you can, a song will now play. If not, I made a mistake. Now, let's talk about the absolute bloody state of the European elections. They were a tumultuous time for many people, myself included, seeing as I am on the left side of voters. However, that absolutely does not mean that they were not an incredible, incredible thing to behold. Now, I've got my personal opinions and my personal political views, and I'll be honest, the results did not reflect those in any way, shape or form. But I'm not depressed about that at all, because what I've seen, and I think is extremely interesting and incredible to witness really, is the way that the results reflected what has happened in culture and society. It really is stark, blinding almost, how similar the two things currently are. Because obviously there'll always be similarities between the two. Culture and society massively affect politics, and politics massively affect culture and society, to the point where you could almost say that they are the same thing. They're intrinsically linked, without a doubt. One affects the other affects the first. That will never change. However, you could almost say that they are the same thing, and I think there is a case to be made. However, this is the clearest reflection of that point of view that I have ever, ever, ever seen. And the reason why is actually relatively simple. Because in both domains, something has disappeared. And that thing is the centre. Moderation, it's gone. It is dead. It has disappeared, it will most likely not be seen for a very, very long time. Now, this, the way I see it, and I may be wrong in this evaluation, but the way I see this happening was that Donald Trump was elected in the US, which sparked a visible rise in far-right politics across Europe, which really led to more people like Viktor Orban, more publicity for people like Nigel Farage, and obviously more politicians like Marine Le Pen, because they were always there, but then people started taking notice, people started really, really talking about them, which is a change. I'm not going to say if it's worrying or not. I've got my personal opinions, but that's not what I'm trying to get across here. I'm not looking for political bias. I'm not talking about my political views here. What I'm talking about, most importantly, at the moment, is the change, and that is the disappearance of the centre. Because the way it works now, I think the way political discourse has evolved, what has evolved into,
It really is fascinating. It has morphed into this weird Venn diagram almost of views. It's no longer a spectrum or anything. It is now two sides of a debate. It's not even a Venn diagram. There's no overlap. You have got the right and you have got the left. You have literally got people, specifically on the left, insulting people by calling them centrists. That's insane. That is absolutely insane, but it's what's happening. And that is a perfect reflection of how politics works today. Basically, you have got the two sides and you've got the arguments that split them. And that's the main thing that varies from country to country. In the UK, it's basically just Brexit at the moment, with the extension of that being immigration. In the US, it's a mixture of things, chiefly amongst which are immigration, which manifests itself in the building of the wall, which is a stupid idea, and also abortion. The whole debate between whether or not you're pro-choice or anti-abortion. There you go. That is what splits the two sides. And your opinion on those issues will decide whether or not you're left or right. And if you are somewhere in between, you are lost. Your platform has just disappeared. They have been, if you're in Europe and you're one of those two sides, you are somewhere if you're not, sorry, and you're somewhere in the middle, your platform has been obliterated. In one fell sweep, it has been wiped completely out of power. The Labour in the UK were hit very, 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 very hard. Conservatives equally so. You've now got the very fragmented left, but they're all anti-Brexit because that's what makes you a leftist now. And then on the right, you've got a party with no policies whatsoever, with no manifesto, and I think worst of all, with Anne Widdecombe as an MEP candidate, well, now as an MEP, because she got elected, the woman who decides to roll her R's when she says Brexit to sound like some racist Downton Abbey grandma. Brexit? Incredible. Yeah, she's going to Europe. She's going to be actually having debates about 10 minutes walk away from my actual house. It's incredible. It really, really is. The fact that they've achieved that is incredible. And it's all because their name is the Brexit Party. And they're led by Nigel Farage, a man who's so working class he once went to get a pint in the pub. It's madness. It's absolute madness. But that is how it's done. That is how it works now. It's blinding. It truly, truly is. But that is how things happen. You have Brexit, that's the right, and you have anti-Brexit, that's the left. In the US, you've got pro-transgender rights, pro-choice, and mostly completely pro-immigration. And that's the left. If you're not completely in line with those three things, well, you're careful, buddy. You're straying towards no man's land, the centre. You might be getting towards the land of compromise. God, can't stray near there. You're going over the trenches. You're going to get shot. You're going to get shot, man. And then on the right, you've got anti-abortion. You've got anti-immigration, and people are becoming more brazen about that. They're no longer saying, "Oh, well, we should try and limit immigration." No, anti-immigration because they've got all the other people who are no longer afraid to say it as well, which, let's be honest, isn't necessarily a bad thing. At least they're being honest for once. And then obviously you have got anti-transgender rights because transgender people aren't people. Genuine argument. You get that quite a lot, and this is stark, I think. It is a very, very visible change from even 4 years ago now. And the world is different. The world is a different place. It really, really is. And that has been absolutely reflected in first the societal shift and then the political shift that followed it. Because you now have to conform to the left or the right. To the point where they are almost becoming like religions. It's almost a theological debate between these two things. The parties are gone. All that a party will now represent is the left or the right. You just have the biggest party, and then you go, "Well, I'm on the left, so I need to vote for the left party," or "I'm on the right, so I need to vote for the right party." Because it was often like that in the UK. It's been like that for ages in the US. In the UK, things are changing now because Labour have lost their platform completely thanks to Jeremy Corbyn. And the Tories are so unpopular after Theresa May that they're losing voters. Absolutely just bleeding them out. In the US, it's probably going to remain Democrats and Republicans. The only thing that's going to change for them is their policies. They're going to split further and further. So the way you people are able to take advantage of this system, and it is obvious, I guess, is populism. They don't just say I'm, well, for the left, that they're pro things, and for the right, they're anti those things. They shout it. And they shout it, and they write songs about it, and they tweet about it, and they go on rallies where they shout it, and they get other people to chant it. And that's how it's done now. And it's both sides. You had Donald Trump, and now you've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, can never pronounce that, and Beto O'Rourke going at it. In the UK, you've got Nigel Farage and I'm not even going to call him Tommy Robinson. That's not his real name. It's Stephen Yaxley Hyde, I think. Something like that. Not working class, I can tell you that much. But anyway, you've got so now you've got Nigel Farage and populists like him and populists like Yaxley. And then on the other side, you've got, well, Corbyn was had populistic elements, but he's strayed so far from having any vision or any point that he's completely gone. I think Change UK tried to do what the Brexit Party did, but absolutely fell flat on their asses. But that's the thing. Discourse is gone. It is dead, and I could not be happier. Because I am not pro-democracy. That's the thing. That is the hot take that will always get me weird looks at parties. I'm not pro-democracy. I don't think it's a good system. I think realistically, all this is proving is that people only have the illusion of choice. They say, well, we want these three issues or these two issues to be supported by our side and not fought against by the other. And while all that happens, you have budget cuts, you have medical care, sorry, issues. In the US, you have people getting shot in schools and no politician actually trying to do anything about it. Thoughts and prayers, well, great, yeah. Are thoughts and prayers going to stop the bullets? Then you've got in the UK, you've got cuts to the NHS, you've got the fact that even saying Brexit's going to happen has made our economy plummet. It's only going to go down from here, realistically. That's the thing. What they do is they distract you. They distract you with this is our opinion on this is our opinion on that. The things that we are the only things that we're supposed to care about as people on either the left or the right. And then they fuck us on the small stuff. They fuck us on taxes. They fuck us on rights. They fuck us on gun laws if you're an American. They fuck us on Brexit if you're in the UK. They fuck us on everything. That's just how things are done now. That's the evolution of discourse. Because we have the illusion of liberty when we say, well, this is who we want to make our choices for us. And then we pretend that that means that we've made the choice. No, we haven't. Absolutely not. And then that person can't really get anything done. Because there are all these false fail-safes put in place by democracy. A lot of the time, there are things like the Electoral College, something that was basically designed to keep Trump out, when it was originally designed, I think, by the founding fathers even. He just games the system, and that got him in. That's how you win an election without winning the popular vote. There you go. Pretty simple, huh? Populist politicians have started gaming the system, and that's helping them to take over. Now, the way you fix that is not by fixing the system, it's by upheaving it. Democracy is dead, long live politics. Because I think that's what's happening now. We are starting to really push the limits of democracy. So I think if there's going to be any change, this is going to be the attitude shift that enacts that change. And I think that is genuinely something absolutely fantastic. It really is. I am ecstatic about that, in the sense that it really does prove, I'm not saying really a lot, but bear with me, first time. It does prove, beyond any doubt, that culture and society and politics are linked, and it is starting to prove, or starting to put doubts in people's heads, that democracy is a good system, because it's fine. It has its advantages, but it has glaring disadvantages as well, and we treat it like the perfect system and refuse to change it because it's our baby, it's the perfect system. No, it's not. Christ knows it's not. Anyway, that's all I've got to say. So, I don't know. We'll probably put another song or something in there. Then maybe talk about sports or music for a couple of minutes. Yeah, lovely. Now, just to fill my quota of other stuff I said I'd talk about, really, really, really brief segment on music and sports. Start off with sports. Baseball, the Mets are still crap. Football, Brighton have not been relegated, so things are looking good there. Although, I don't know who's going to replace Houghton. I don't think sacking him was the wrong decision, but I really, really don't think we did it in the right way. To be fair, at least we didn't sack him like we sacked Poirier. That was absolutely reprehensible. Anyway, yeah, that's football. What else? Hockey, yeah, Habs didn't make the playoffs, which is just depressing, really. Because we were looking good, but I think things are looking up. If Shea Weber can stay healthy, that'll probably be all right. If Carey Price can stay on decent form, that'll be good. I mean, no, things have been looking all right for the Habs. Well, they did last season. God, next, well, 15th place isn't the best draft pick, but hopefully we can get someone good. And keep retooling, keep Kotkaniemi going. Next season could be all right. Now, MMA, obviously, still best sport in the world. Absolutely fantastic. I think Smith Gustafson is this weekend. If it is, I will watch that and actually give my thoughts on that briefly. But yeah, now, music has been, well, it is a great week for music because three of my favourite musical artists have all come out with albums. Incredible. You've got Flamanga, I think, by the artist Flying Lotus, which is always incredible stuff. You've got the debut album of Hayden Thorpe, who was one of the two singers from my favourite band of all time, Wild Beasts. His new album is called Diviner, and it is fantastic. I just played the song In My Name from that. And lastly, another one of my favourite bands, her name is Kala, are coming out with their final ever album, which is crushing, really. But it's coming out. It is called, the album is called Animal Choir. It's still not out, but they've released some singles, including The Dead Rift, Church, and Swan, all of which are incredible things to listen to. Absolutely, genuinely stunning stuff. It really, really is amazing. Their last ever concert is happening at Dunk Festival in arse end of nowhere in Belgium, and I live in Belgium, but I think I left it too late to get tickets, which is a absolute bummer, because that would have been absolute pleasure to go to. But it is what it is. Things happen. I've been to plenty of concerts already this year, so yeah, it's gonna be weird without them. Actually, they it's not the first time they've gone on hiatus, but them being completely gone will be strange. Anyway, that is going to do it for the first episode of The Absolute Bloody State of Things. I'm going to try and figure out some, I don't know, some amusing in-jokes to start building up. Maybe try and get some questions for next time. Could be fun. I don't know. I think at best I can get two people listening to them, and one of them is realistically going to be me. So that is still something, at least. Yeah, this is very experimental. If you have any comments on how I do things, maybe you don't like the way I pronounce S's, because I'm using an Apple headphone microphone to record all of this. Maybe you don't like the acoustics. Maybe you don't like me. If any of these things are true, send in all complaints and criticisms and personal insults to my Twitter, at TMKZ9, Tom Downing. I think it's in the description. Should be at least. Yeah. Until then, well, until next time, if there is a next time, bye.